Good evening, everyone. And tonight I want to talk about the topic is about dishonesty. Because I read an article some time ago. It's a very funny article. And there was a husband suing his wife for cheating him because she gave birth to two very ugly children. Because apparently the wife, you know, she got this cosmetic surgery, you know. She was very ugly before she had this surgery. So she's very pretty, you know, after the cosmetic surgery. So she's really very pretty. So of course the husband, after married him and then give birth to two children, discovered that, why my children look so ugly, you know. But because she is not really ugly. So he felt that he was being cheated. You know, because he think that his wife is so beautiful, but actually it's artificial, it's not real, you know, it's not natural. So, and this is freaking me off that how, you know, in this society, in the whole world, you know, and actually there are many people are really the bad, they're really doing bad things, but like small things, like we said, we cheat a little bit is okay. You know, the dishonesty, for example, you know, illegal downloading, you know, not paying tax, you know, then you think that it's okay because everybody doing it, you know. It's just a little bit, you cheat a little bit, it's okay, you cheat a little bit, it's okay. And but actually, you know, like if you compare to the percentage, you know, of people like doing like robberies, you know, the robbers, this very... not many, isn't it? The percentage is not many, you know, if you compare to the ratio, you know, the whole population, isn't it? But there are many, many, many in the world that also call, they think that they're honest, they feel good about themselves, they think that it's okay, that I'm not really dishonest, I'm not that greedy, I just, you know, a little bit, you know, I just cheat a little bit, it's fine, you know. You know, we want to feel good about ourselves and we try to justify. And then we think that it's okay, you know. And it's just like Ajahn Chah used to tell his monk, he said like, why people can't get enlightened? It's not because they do horrible stuff. You can hardly find, there are many people that are really doing horrible stuff, isn't it? Actually, not many, you know, intentionally want to hurt others, but it's just not many. But just all small little things, anything that is okay. And this remind me of that. There was a joke. There was a little boy. So one day he came back from school. So he passed the note to his father, and then actually the father is about that this little boy took his friend's pencil. Of course. The father was so upset with him. The father said to him, how come you do such a thing? It's totally unacceptable to me that, you know, how come you take a pencil, you take a friend's pencil? If you want pencil, tell me, you know, how many pencils you want, you tell me. I can get it for you from the office. And then you think that it's okay, isn't it? Okay, you know, just a pencil, you know. But actually, you know, it's not how much we steal, isn't it? But the intention is there, isn't it? The underlying tendency is there. Whether you steal 5 cents or you steal 1,000 or you steal 1,000,000, the underlying tendency is there. The intention is there. Isn't it? But we try to justify, we still want to feel good about ourselves, you know, we think that it's okay, you know. So everybody doing it. It's just like the Buddha said, there's, you know, there are three standards that people make decision, these three basic standards, the Buddha said, in the world, people make decision based on these three basic standards. The first one, we do things because of make me happy. And I don't care whether it's going to harm others, it's going to hurt others, whether it's on the expense of others, I just don't care. As long as I'm happy, you know, this is the first type, you know, they don't care whether there's, you know, as long as I'm happy, if it's going to harm others, it's none of my business, as long as I'm happy. So, The second type, the Buddha said, that someone like, they just do it because of everybody doing it. It's okay, it's fine, because everybody doing it, isn't it? Like some of the things, like even those like for example, alcohol. I mean, socially it's acceptable, but actually alcohol, taking alcohol itself is not immoral by itself. You know, the act itself is not immoral, but because of you taking the alcohol, that sometimes confuses our minds, and you commit a lot of unwholesome and unskillful acts, you know, and that is caused a lot of suffering, and that is you commit a lot of immoral action because of that. And that's why we refrain from drinking, because of, we said, again, people say, we drink a little bit is okay. How little is little bit? Maybe your little bit is a whole bottle. You think that is a little bit, isn't it? You know? You don't know you don't know where to draw the line, isn't it? How little is little? You know? You just say, your little and my little, maybe my little is maybe just a tiny bit. This is little. But to someone, maybe a bottle is still a little, isn't it? So that's why we refrain ourselves, you know? Even though it's acceptable, it's not that, you know, the act itself actually is not immoral, but we know that the consequence of doing that, and doesn't mean that everybody doing it, that must be right, isn't it? So that's why we have to really investigate and ask ourselves whether it's really for our own well-being, or on the expense of others, or really benefit ourselves or benefit others, not just blindly because of everybody is doing it, then it's okay that we're doing it, like illegal downloading, because many people doing it, so it's fine. Not paying tax, you know, especially this month is the end of financial year, so okay, make sure that you pay your tax, so don't cheat, you know. So, and then we think that it's okay because of everybody doing it. I'm not the only one, you know, cheating. Everybody cheat anyway, you know. It's fine. So then the third one, the Buddha said, the third standard is that someone, whatever they do, they reflect and contemplate whether that my action, whatever I do, you know, whether it's for my own benefit and also the benefit of others. This is the one that have the wisdom, you know, they will consider, they reflect, they contemplate whether this what I'm doing, is it harming myself and harming others? So basically the Buddha said this is the three types of people that, you know, the people based on these three standards. So of course, the last one is the one who having wisdom. You're not just blindly because of other doing it, you do it, you know. So that's why it's important that, so, because very easily that we want to feel good about ourselves, and then we try to justify, you know, it's okay, it's good, you know, it's, I'm not that bad, I'm still a good person, you know. And not to say that we underestimate the power of those underlying tendencies. When those underlying tendencies where it's grow, can be very powerful. Sometimes we think that we will not do such a thing. When given the condition, we do a lot of harm to ourselves and to others. So, and sometimes we want to feel good about ourselves, and then this is how we justify, you know. And also, and this also remind me another joke that's about a lawyer. So there was a city miser. So he was on his deathbed. And he, as his last request to be alone with the priest, the doctor, and the lawyer. So he said, he spoke to three of them. He said, I know that I'm going to die, but, you know, I want to put some money into my coffin. I want to take this with me. So I make sure that, you know, each one of you, I give you 150,000. So make sure that, you know, each one of you, make sure that you put this money into the coffin. You get this into the coffin. So then they give them, each one, 150,000. So after the funeral, after a few days, the priest, overflowing with guilt. So Then he called the other two guys, you know, the doctors and the lawyers. He confessed. He said that, you know, actually, I didn't put 150,000. I only put back 100,000. And then the doctor said, oh, it's good that you brought this up. He said, actually, also, I really feel so guilty. I don't feel so good about myself. Actually, I only put back 80,000. You know, I didn't put back all. And then the lawyer said, I really feel ashamed of you. And you're doing such a thing, you're stealing money like that, you know. He stormed and he said, you know, am I the only the honest person? Look, he pulled out, you know, from his pocket. Look, you see, his check, you see, I wrote the full 150,000 checks. So he thought that I'm the only honest person. This is how sometimes we're just deceiving ourselves, isn't it? We think that we're honest. But sometimes, not to underestimate that, because something small, because it's small, it's subtle. The subtle thing is very difficult to see. Unless we develop a mindfulness, we can't see. Because those underlying tendencies, you know, it keep building up, you know. So, and then you become a habit and you keep reinforce that. And I think a couple of weeks ago, I read an article, and it is a news, actually it's a news, that there was a man that he was so upset with the haircut and he's not happy with his haircut. So he went back to the hairdresser and just argued with her that, you know, he's not happy with his haircut. And eventually they have argument and he killed her. So, and then my response is, you know, just the hair, you know, it's going to grow, you know. Why people do that? You kill someone because of you're not happy with a hairstyle. But actually when you really reflect, when I started to contemplate and reflect, actually it's not really because of the hairstyles, because sometimes the building up, sometimes that's just the trigger. You know how when we start building our negativity, our anger, we keep reinforce that. And sometimes that, you know, like sometimes that we're in the bad mood, isn't it? So sometimes anyone says anything, that is a trigger, isn't it? And sometimes that they've been building up. It's just like been boiling and been cooking and building up. It's just like a bomb is there. Though the other person, that incident is only the trigger. So then he come along and he just, you know, then the trigger off his anger. But actually, it's already building up, you know, because we are not mindful, we're not aware that this underlying tendency, because it's very subtle, we can't see. And then we react and we keep reinforce that tendency. And it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, especially this negative emotion is being building up and building and building up. And then without knowing that, you know. So then, you know, just when the condition is right, someone trigger all that and then we explode. And that's actually that moment the person just lost it. You know, just lost his mind because overcame by the anger and cannot see himself. That moment is just insane. This is how we think that we will not do such a thing, isn't it? We think that it's silly, but actually, never underestimate that kind of underlying tendency that we keep building up without knowing that we are doing it. And then not aware of that because lack of mindfulness, lack of awareness. And that's why when given the condition, you know, then it's just like the wheat, you know. Like when given the conditions, you water it, you know, you got sunlight, you know, it pops up, isn't it? If you fertilize it, the same thing. So because our underlying tendency is still there, you know, those defilements is there, it's not that, you know. So we because it's so subtle, we think that we are not, but actually we are. So they said never underestimate that. So and especially the Buddha's mentioned about this 10 spiritual qualities to develop this. One of the 10 spiritual qualities the Buddha's mentioned is that is the truthfulness. So truthfulness is not only lying, you know, but that is, we deceive ourselves, you know, that is a more subtle level. It's not only not telling lies, but we deceive ourselves, you know, because we've been blinded by our defilements and we can't see because it's very subtle. So that's why, because of that, we deceive ourselves. And that is the not only not telling lies, you know. So the Buddha said in this Dhammapada, he said, with gentleness, overcome anger. And with generosity, overcome meanness. And with truth, overcome deceive. The reason why we're deceiving ourselves, because we can't see the truth, because we are clouded our mind, we can't see, because it's so subtle. Those defilements is very subtle, it's played itself out. We can't see, you know. So that's why sometimes like the, especially the dishonesty, especially towards ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves, because the reason why we deceive ourselves, because we don't perceive things purely, we don't see things as they really are. So in order to see that, we have to develop the clarity of mind, because we can't see that, you know, that is because of the so subtle, unless your mindfulness is strong enough, you'll be able to see. You know, that's why sometimes how easy we deceive ourselves. I remember quite many years ago, there was a guy that he just separated with his wife, and because of his wife having an affair with another man, and because he'd been practicing long time, you know, he practicing metta, so, and then the wife also tried to make up, and then he keep telling himself that, you know, I'm a Buddhist, you know how I'm practicing metta, I should forgive her, you know, I should, you know, make up because for the children, you know. So he keep telling himself that, you know, that he should forgive. So then it's just deceiving himself, but actually he can't, you know, rather than just honest about that, you know, because he said he tried very hard. He tried to forgive and let go and try to make up, but he said each time he couldn't. So then he keep forcing himself. He said, I send more metta, I doing more, you know, loving kindness, you know, then maybe, you know, that I should. Then he feel guilty about that he's not be able to forgive his wife because of he's a Buddhist. I'm a Buddhist. I've been practicing for so long. So then he's not being honest about himself, you know, about how he feel, isn't it? So, I mean, in theory, we all understand, you know, to let go, to forgive. But we can't, you know, rather than just honest about that, you know. So, that's why, so I try to say to this person, I said, you know, you just leave it, you know. You can't let go, you can't forgive now. You just leave it alone, you know, allow time. Not to force yourself to forgive, you know, to allow time to maybe, you know, takes time to forgive, you know, you cannot force yourself, and just to be honest about that. Not thinking that I should be able to do that, I should forgive. Then I'm not a good Buddhist, I'm not practicing well. And it's again, this is just the ego trick, isn't it? And she just keep forcing herself. So I said, look, it doesn't work. I said, if you try to, you know, force yourself that to forgive someone, but actually inside you are not. And then you said, it's just to show that I'm a good Buddhist, I'm practicing, I have metta, I have loving kindness. So you try to do that. I said, you know, it's not going to work that way, you know. It's again, you create more suffering for yourself. And I said, you know, just to be honest, you know, at the moment I can't, then you can't. So at least you can send, you know, good wishes to ourselves, you know. We discover that maybe some, you know, one day we discover that we have done something that we don't feel right. We think that it's not very good. And we don't feel good about ourselves. Let me just be honest about that, you know. And if we can't forgive ourselves, it's still okay, you know. It's not that we should be able to forgive. So at least, you know, we're being kind to ourselves. We send good wishes to ourselves. Not to have the ill will towards ourselves, but have the good will towards ourselves. That may I be able to forgive one day. So you're sending loving kindness to oneself, being kind to oneself. May I be able to forgive that, forgive myself. You know, I have done something that, you know, I know that I shouldn't have done it, you know. It's okay. But at least we are honest. We are not deceiving ourselves, isn't it? We are not pretend that, you know, it's not there. So it's just honest about that. It's there. You know, I can't forgive. I can't let go. It's okay. Because most, all of us, you know, in theory, we all understand. But the mind itself just don't want to forgive, just holding on, can't let go. So then we are honest about that. So that's why when we talk about truthfulness, it's not only about not telling lies. We've been honest about how we feel. We've been honest about our defilements. It's okay, you know, how, this is how I feel. So not to feel guilty that, oh, I shouldn't feel this way, I should feel that way, you know. So that's why it's important that we be honest to ourselves. The honesty is not only, you know, not only not telling lies, but not deceiving ourselves. The reason why we deceive ourselves because of we don't perceive things as they really are, because we all been perverted by our experience, our likes and dislikes. Because this is how, because the things that we like, you know, we got pulled in, isn't it? We just perverted. We want to see what we want to see. So that's why we've been perverted by our likes and dislikes. So we are not perceiving things purely. We don't see. We don't perceive things purely, and we don't see the things as they really are. That's why we are deceiving ourselves. That's why, in order to overcome that, you know, that we have to develop the first of all, the clarity of mind. First thing, we have to slow down our mind first. When our mind's too fast, too busy, we can't see. Because we can't see the truth because of lack of clarity. So that's like this whole path of practice you can put into practice, you can apply this in your daily life, everyday life, to develop your mindfulness and awareness, being, you know, aware. And the first thing, you have to slow down. Like this morning, someone spoke to me that because of she's at home, she has lots of housework to do, and because she think a lot, but because she said whenever she's eating, she starts to plan, you know, what time to pick up the son, and what time to, you know, to call, you know. Then she's not in the present moment of awareness. She's not present. Her mind keeps, you know, going into the future, and the mind is very busy because the thinking itself actually is very draining, takes up lots of mental energy. So she's not aware of that, and then she finds herself getting quite easily upset and agitated and irritated. And she said that she feels upset and angry easily. So sometimes she got react. So just sometimes, for example, her husband came back said, "Oh, can you make me a cup of tea?" And then she got mad. He said, "You know, why don't you make your own cup of tea? You know, I'm busy. You know, so." And then but after that, she feels bad that, you know, she thinks that, you know, I shouldn't have react that way, you know, the anger, you know, with the anger. Because he said that she doesn't want to be an angry person. So, but because of, we don't aware that we've been feeding that, you know. Because it's just like when this whole part of practice is not about like having willpower, then we can overcome. No. Because When there is a contact, when feeling arises, and that is either pleasant or unpleasant, and when there is unpleasant feelings, we just don't want to experience that, want to push it away. When there is pleasant feelings, and then we want to hold on to it, we want it to stay, but we can't. you know. So, and this is how we just only, we've been avoiding. So we've been running away from unpleasant feeling, and then we try to hold on to the pleasant feelings. And this is how sometimes we keep reinforce that tendency and just keep building up and building up, building up, and without knowing that we've been doing that, especially with this unwholesome emotion. So we keep feeding it. So when we react, for example, when we got angry and we react to our anger, then we are feeding it. It's just like a fire. When we keep putting in fuel, it will keep burning. So even though we don't react, for example, even we are more, now we start to be more mindful. We mindful about, you know, that we're getting upset now. We are not feeding it, so we are not reacting to that anger. Doesn't mean that the anger already disappeared. No, it will still come back because it still keep, you know, that because we've been building up. It's just like we keep adding the fuel. So you have to let the fuel finish, so nothing to burn. Then it stops by itself. So that's why the whole part of practice that you have to keep, you know, maintain the mindfulness. When we're aware of that, we don't react that. When we don't react, we are not adding fuel to our unwholesome emotion. Then we don't get building up. Then this is how, and little by little, and this unwholesome emotion or unresolved emotions, whatever emotions, is a subside by itself. We just stop because no more fuel, we're not acting on. So that's why it's a gradual training. We have to keep training our mind. That's why, first of all, in our daily life, we can apply this. So we just try to slow down first, slow down our mind. So if we find ourselves that we rushing from one thing to another, we just stop. Try to make the breaks, you know, try to learn how to stop. Because meditation is not only, the practice is not only sitting on the cushion. How we live our life the whole day is really that bring over onto the cushion. That's like first thing in the morning, you know, like for example, like we're having breakfast. We just slow down. 5 minutes. Actually 5 minutes a lot, you know. Not rush into the future, you know, thinking about what next that I'm going to do. Just slow your mind down. So when you slow your mind down, then it's easy that when you be easier to focus. So because you cannot force your mind to just stop like that, you can't. So it's take time. So then you can apply this all little practice, you know, throughout the day, you know, even while you're working. So sometimes you feel that you again, you know, that you have this tendency of trying to rush from one thing to another. So you just pause and just stop. So then it's slow. When your mind slow down, and then when you meditate, it's easy because you have to slow down your mind first. When your mind slow, because when our mind is too busy, we can't see. We don't have the clarity. It's just like if we are sitting in the car, if the car keep moving, can we see things? We can't see, isn't it? We can't see things clearly. We can't see things. We don't have the clarity because it's moving. The mind is moving. So because of we are so busy in our daily life, so we start. We apply this in daily life. So we slow down whenever we eat. We make sure that we do one thing at a time, not rush into the future, because we really don't know, you know. So sometimes we spend so much time worry about the future, what is going to happen. I have to finish my work, you know. This is the common thing. Usually people come and say to me that, oh, I'm too busy. I have so much work to do. I cannot finish my work. I have to finish my work. Then I have time to meditate. Then I'll be able to meditate. So I used to tell people when they said to me that, you know, I have to wait till I finish my job, then I can meditate. So I told them, I said, you know, if you want to wait till you finish your job only, you can meditate. I tell you, if you can finish your job, you will lose your job. Isn't it? Who is going to employ you if you can finish your job? Isn't it? You're not going to finish. You know, so I said, no, I said, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So whenever you have done, you know, just sit down. You can never finish. So you just prioritize what is important. You do the things that, you know, that you need to be done. You done first. Anyway, it's not going to finish. And just a couple of days ago, one of our supporters, he told me that one of his friends that's really looking forward to his retirement, that he was thinking he have all this expectation that, you know, after his retirement, he's going to do things that he's not be able to do, you know, throughout his whole life, you know. Now he's really looking forward to that. And then he died after 2 days of his retirement. You see, sometimes we think that we, you know, okay, we can do it later. We don't even know whether we're still alive tomorrow, isn't it? So why we worry about what is going to happen? So bring our mind back to this present, practice present moment awareness. So if we live well this moment, it's good enough. Why we worry about next moment? So, you know, we take one moment at a time, one step at a time, one day at a time. So we never know how long we're going to live. So we make the most of it. Like this lady spoke to me, she said, it's true. She never enjoyed her food because when she start eating, she start thinking about what to do, you know, picking up this and that. Then I said, when you live in present moment awareness, you be able to enjoy your food. You know, you miss out so much thing, isn't it, in this present moment? You know, so I said you'd be able to fully, be present and you enjoy, you'd be able to enjoy your food. And then you just make the most of it. So we never know. Like this person think that, oh no, they plan that I'm going to do this, you know, when I retire. But he can't, 2 days only, you know, he died. So that's why it's not going to be finished. So why we rush? Because sometimes this become a tendency. It's quite ingrained. And sometimes we're doing it without knowing that we are doing it. And then we keep reinforcing that and we keep feeding it. And that's why it becomes a habit. When it becomes a habit, it's quite difficult to come out of it. And like old habit die hard. You know, it takes time. You know, but many people, they're just being impatient, they just want to, you know, done with, you know, oh, now I'm started to meditate, and then they expect that all the defilements all, you know, go away just like that. No, it takes time. It's just like what I explained just now. You keep, you know, even though we don't react to our emotion, our defilements, it's still there. So we just acknowledge that. So the letting go will not happen overnight. It takes time. But first of all, do we recognize that? Isn't it? Do we recognize that we have this tendency? Do we recognize that? What do we know that we're holding, what we are holding on to? We don't even recognize, isn't it? So they said, first of all, we have to develop mindfulness first, be able to recognize that this underlying tendency. So, but sometimes when people be able to recognize that, they're not be able to acknowledge it. They keep, you know, deceiving themselves. They try to justify, you know, oh no, because of this, because of that. Because they don't not be able, because of the ego, we not be able to acknowledge that. So that's like the letting go is not just happen like that. First of all, you have to be able to recognize and to just acknowledge, just to be honest about that. Yes? So what? I have these defilements, you know, just, you know, yes, I still get angry, you know, I still get upset, you know, I'm still a little bit greedy, you know, when I see something, I still, you know, so you just honest about that, you just acknowledge that, you know, then just, and accept, it's okay who I am, it's okay that I'm a bit greedy, it's okay that, you know, I still have anger, to accept that. And forgive, it's okay. We forgive ourselves. We forgive our own mistake. Then only we can let go. We cannot just let go of what? We don't even know. We don't even know that we are doing it, isn't it? Some of our habits, you know, that because it's so ingrained and because it's very subtle. Unless we develop our mindfulness and awareness to be able to recognize that. then only we'll be able to let go. If you not recognize, you don't even know they're holding on to. It's like, I remember a few months ago, someone spoke to me. And she was telling me that, you know, her, about her defilements, like, you know, like she's always like to control, like to follow her desires, and she's a bit restless and things like that. And I have had this restless mind. So then I said, yeah, I said, at least you recognize that. I said, and then I said, if you come and tell me that you're okay, you're completely not, you know, you're okay, you have no defilements, then I'm more worried about that, isn't it? If you think that you have no defilements, I said, then you're absolutely deluded. But at least, no, at least you're honest about that, you know. I said, it's okay. And some people don't see that. To able to see your own defilements, actually, you have to have wisdom to see that, isn't it? You know, you don't even know that you have that defilements, isn't it? You can't see it, you know. That's why sometimes not to worry when you see your own defilements. You just say, sadhu, sadhu. So it's good. At least you'll be able to recognize that. Then you acknowledge and accept it's okay that who I am. Because sometimes you have all this idea of who I am, you know. And I remember the first time I see my own defilements, I find that it's so difficult to accept. I give it all sorts of reasons. I try to justify. I find that it's so difficult to accept that. And until I got so much suffering that, okay, come on, just admit it. So the moment I just acknowledge that, admit that, I feel much better. Then I can let go. Because again, just my own ego trip. You know, and also another thing also is help us to go against, because this underlying tendency, this, because it's very subtle and it's become like a habit, a mental habitual pattern. It's very subtle and becomes very ingrained, and because it's very easy for us to follow, you know, it's easy for us to go along than to go against, isn't it? That's why sometimes it's important that we challenge ourselves to go against, because it's very easy to do things that we like. But to do things that we don't like is quite difficult. You have to really put in effort to go against, you know. I remember many years when I was in Thailand. That time, I'm not in the monastery yet. I was in Thailand many years ago. Then I went there, and I was quite really arrogant and, you know, really big ego. And I when I stay in that monastery, I really don't like the way they do things. And then I was thinking they're very superstitious. They're doing all this rite and rituals. This, to me, it's all rubbish, you know. So that's, you know, that fault finding mine. And I remember that, and some of the things I don't like to do, they asked me to collect this flowers that's very, very tiny, you know. And they use it for medicine. They dry these little flowers and they make it a medicine, you know. They can put in the hot water. They can drink it like a tea. So then I was asked to do this job in the morning. So after breakfast, you know. And I hated that because it's quite tiring, because you have to squat down to pick up and it's very tiny. And lots of mosquito. And I hated that. Then after that, and I did it for two morning, and then the third morning, after breakfast, I ran so fast back to my kutia. I hide inside there so that they don't see me, so that I don't have to do it, you know. I did that for 3 days because I don't like it, you know. It's very unpleasant. But after 3 days, I just realized that I was asking myself, what am I doing? Why I do this? You see, sometimes deep down we know, isn't it? But sometimes, like, you know, but we just don't want to admit it, you know, that you know, when the defilements kick out, I just want to do things that I like, you know, and also because of my own ego. And I realized that, you know, that because I don't like it, so I don't want to do it. So then after that, I reflect on that. I really honest about it, you know. Then I told myself, okay, next day, no matter what, I'm going to do it. So, because I keep avoiding the second senior nun, you know, so that, because I don't want her to ask me to do that, because I don't like to do it, you know. So, the next morning, actually, after breakfast, I went up to her. So, because she called Mei Pong, I said, Mei Pong, you know. Can, he said, I said, do you still want to collect the flowers? I can do it, I said, you know. Then I do it. And then, so it's a lot of mosquito, I don't like it. So I just aware that I just keep bringing my awareness back to this moment, back to my bodily sensations, my reaction, how I feel. So I keep bringing my back, rather following the thought. Because when we are not mindful, when we follow the thoughts, then we keep all that, we keep complaining, you know, this lousy monastery, what they are doing, this, this. The mind go on and on, you know. Then you say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I go back, you know. But this time, I keep bringing my awareness, my mindful attention, you know, back to my body and to feel how is it feel like this moment. And is it, you know, I feel that, oh, it's unpleasant, it's hot, the mosquitoes. So then, when I bring my attention into my body, so then there is a break. Then I don't follow that thoughts, you know. But once you follow that thoughts, you go round and round and round and round, you know. And then you get more and more angry, you know. And then you keep reinforce that. You got so upset. Then I ended up, I went back. But this time, I'm more like, because I make that determination that no matter what, I'm going to do it. Because this is something that I don't like to do, but it's okay. They say sometimes it's important, because when you do something that you don't like, you have to make an effort, you know, to do it. Because it's very easy to do things that we like. They say sometimes it's good that, you know, in life it's okay, you know. Like, especially sometimes when you go back, you don't like to do housework, you know. Then it's okay. You challenge yourself that, okay, it's for me to do housework, to help a little bit, maybe washing dishes. I remember when I was a layperson, I was young that time. I don't like to wash dishes because I used to pay my nail, you know, keep very long, you know. Because if I wash dishes, it's going to break my fingernails. So, so I hated that and I don't want to do that, you know. And this is how I'm feeling that defilements, you know, without knowing it. So this is something that is really good that we go against, because it's that the effort that you make, because this is how we keep reinforce that the more we reinforce, the more difficult that we come out of that tendency. So there's like the first of all that we have to really apply this the Buddha's teaching into our daily life, to try to practice mindfulness. Then whenever you have time, you just sit there just to calm yourself down. It's okay. Even sometimes you not be able to focus on your breath or whatever meditation object. It's okay. Just sit there. Even though your mind is very busy, even you sit there for an hour with not be able to focus, but you still feel good. You still feel calm. You feel, you know, you feel calm, even though you can't focus, it's okay. So make a habit to do that every day. So because they give you more, because when you develop this mindfulness and you be able to focus more, and that give you more mental energy. So after you have established, develop your mindfulness, strengthen your mindfulness, then you'll be able to see more subtle defilements, you know. Sometimes, like, yes, in theory, when we listen to the talks, you know, it's easy, we all understood. We all understand the theory, but we really have to put into practice. Unless we have developed that calm and peaceful mind, and we have with the stillness, with the clarity. Without that, we can't see all these subtle defilements that causes us a lot of suffering, and also not our suffering, our own suffering is also the suffering of others. So I offer this for Dhamma reflection to their topics of dishonesty. So thank you for listening. So any questions or comments? Oh, so the first question, Anne from Malaysia. Can daily meditation help me to be honest and maintain my five precepts? Of course, because of the meditations help to calm your mind down. When your mind is calm, when your mind is still, you can see that how you react, you're more aware. So because it's helped to develop, I've already mentioned just now, develop the mind, your awareness, become stronger. And actually, you know, when you started to practice, and especially in daily life, if you more, if you try to, this is, I find that this is quite good, this practice, because someone, I've told someone, I think last year, this guy, then he got this anxiety attack, I mean panicking attack, and these anxieties that he said that sometimes when he was working, that come, the attack come. So then I asked him to really try to bring his awareness into the body to just feel how is it feel like when that come, is it the tightness? Because when you bring your awareness into your body, you're aware that it is tight. So then I asked him, how do you feel? He said he feel tight. So you just bring your attention, your awareness into your sensation, your feelings, then your mind will not get sucked into. Because usually when this panicking attack come, or these anxieties, or these unwholesome emotions, you know, when that arises, that moment, usually that followed by a thought. We think about it, and then we worry about it, and sometimes we have fear, and it becomes like fear of the fear. And is this how it's keep reinforcing without knowing? But when we bring our awareness into the body, so that's actually is a form of meditation. It's just like the feeling and sensation becomes our meditation object. So that's like when meditation actually does help, you know, to develop your awareness. Of course that, you know, your awareness have to become really stronger and stronger. So it's a gradual training. So maybe at the beginning we can see a more coarser defilements. Then slowly, then we see more, when our mindfulness and awareness become stronger and stronger, so we can see more and more and more subtle, because we have more and more clarity as the mind become more and more still. Only through stillness, when the mind is still not moving, when you are still, you have the clarity and you'll be able to see all these subtle defilements. All this subtle underlying tendency is there, because if without that mindfulness and awareness and also stillness, without the clarity, we can't see. That's why it does help and also maintain the five precepts. Yes, because sometimes that, because of when we are not mindful, we can easily pull in, isn't it? Sometimes when we are not mindful, or sometimes when our mind is not calm enough. For example, even sometimes we mindful about, sometimes we do aware that sometimes some people said nasty thing to us. And even though deep down we wanted to say, oh, I better restrain myself not to say anything, you know, refrain myself. But somehow we can't bite our tongue back. We still said something to hurt some other people. Then we realize, oh, I should have stopped that, because of the mind is not the, we have the awareness, but the mind is still not strong enough, don't have the strength. So not enough of stillness, not enough of calmness. So that's why when we develop this stillness, this is because this whole part of practice that is sila is the morality, and samadhi and panya. Samadhi actually is not only mindfulness, but that is these three factors, these three have to come together. We cannot separate that. If you have only awareness and mindfulness is not good enough. You have to have the stillness to be able to hold ourselves at no. And then the other factors that is the effort, right effort. So this is in one group. So because if only mindfulness itself, you know, you still can't hold yourself because only mindfulness itself, you have to have the stillness, and you also have to have the right effort. The right effort, that is the four right efforts. So when unwholesome thoughts arises, not to allow unwholesome thoughts arises. When unwholesome thoughts arises, we will abandon it. If we can't abandon it, we try to bring in like wholesome thoughts, you know. Then we try to maintain that. So we have to put in effort. It's just like Ajahn Brahm, the simile that he used to give, you know, that about mindfulness, you know. You're not just mindful, and it's just like the thief going into your house, you know. You're just mindful of the thief is going inside, you know. It's just like the guard, you know, and go into the house, you know, and then he saw the thief going in, and then he got the television, and then he saw the television going out. So, and then you have to stop it, isn't it? So this four right effort, we have to stop the unwholesome thoughts. We have to put in effort. So they said, these three come together, then we become powerful. That is really does help us from committing unwholesome action or unwholesome deed. So there's another question, says Manja from Slovenia. How can we deal with people who are dishonest towards us? Yes, so what can we do about that, isn't it? So that's why something is very important, that we have to remind ourselves that even those, because we don't have to be responsible for that person's action, but if we got upset with that person, then we have to be responsible for our own, you know, action. You know, get angry, get upset, it's not really good. What can we do? The person wants to be dishonest, you know, and we cannot control. And there are so many people in this way, we cannot change them. But at least we remind ourselves that make sure that I don't do it. You know, then, you know, that if person being dishonest to us, it's okay. I don't have to be responsible for that person. And we can't change others, isn't it? And we can't change them, you know, and then we cannot control what other people do. But we can always control ourselves and not to react and not to get upset with them. So the other one is Eslim from Holland. Are white lies considered not honest? That's why against actually is sometimes this against we have to go back to ourselves and to really ask ourselves what is our motive, our intention, you know, and to really honest about it, you know. That's why sometimes it's like white lies, that sometimes how we give, you know, try to justify. And that's why it's always have to go back to our intention. That's right. That's why it's important. But how many of us, if our mindfulness is not strong, we don't even see our intention, isn't it? We don't see the underlying tendency, the intention, you know, the subtle intention, the underlying tendency, or the behind it, those very subtle. So sometimes we think that it's okay. There's like, yes, white lies. That's why it's very important that we always have to go back to investigate and to see the intention behind it, whether we have the intention to, you know, to really, especially to try to cover ourselves, you know, or really out of kindness or compassion. And again, this also has to come back to our own, you know, honesty, to really see where that we are coming from, these white lies. So I hope that's answered this person's questions. Any more questions or comments? Yes.
Con is being respectful.
Yeah.
And honor.
Yes. Can you repeat that again? Yeah.
Pardon?
Can you repeat the questions again?
Respectful in like honors your family.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's good. It's very good. Yeah. And actually, the honesty itself also with the respect. You know. Sometimes when I remember it's a true story because I know this guy. So he was now he's already bankrupt, but last time he was still doing his business with IT and things like that. So he's doing quite well. And then I think because Bante Sujata know this guy as well, because I know Bante Sujata long ago. I know him in 1998, so old friends with, I know Bante Sujata long ago. So we know this guy. So when he was and he went to Thailand, you know, there is to sign a contract. It's a multi-million contract. So, and of course, you know, with the businessman, and he's a devout Buddhist. So they want him to, you know, to drink alcohol and want him to you know to have a woman for him and things like that. So he refused. He said, no, I'm not there. Then the businessman that going to sign contract with him, he said, no, you have to do it. If you don't do it, I'm not going to sign the contract. So he said, okay, well, I just don't get the contract. So he left. He went back to his hotel. And then the next morning, this guy took the contract and knocked on his door and want to sign the contract with him. Because the person can see, this person is an honest person. And you know, if you work with this person, definitely he's not going to cheat you, isn't it? So he can see. That's why sometimes people say that, oh, it's doing business, you cannot be too honest. No. We are not stupid, you know. You cheat one time, then not, you know. How many times you can cheat, isn't it? Eventually they know. And then they respect you, you know. When we are honest, we got the respect. And then we feel good, you know. So that's like because he's really keeping his precept. He said no, he refused to do that. And then he got the business because of he being honest. It's not because of he's not honest. That's why sometimes, you know, that people think that it's okay that we cheat, you know, a little bit dishonest is fine. No. So anything, any questions or comments? No? So then we end this session. Okay, thank you. Thank you.